There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
Know you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go. Qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 618, February 17th, 2013. Nasser, welcome to the studio. How are you?
Thank you, sir. Welcome to the post-Valentine's Day podcast. Love is still in the palatial studios for all members of the global F1 Weekly familia, from Kokomo, Indiana to Cabinda in Angola.
On today's program, Nasser, we're going to talk about F1 testing at Jerez.
Really?
Williams goes to Barcelona. We're going to have a special report on the F1 testing that started in 2013 from F1 Weekly President of European Operations, Mr. Peter Brazier. Nass, like I said, welcome to the studio. What's going on with you? Were you excited, happy with the resultos of the F1 testing at Jerez?
Yes, sir. And before the results came in, I was just happy to see the cars and find out they are running around in anger, almost all of them except for a few. So this is very exciting, and I think a little too early to make a decision on how the season will go.
Well, I could make predictions, though.
Yeah, let me guess. Nando.
No, not necessarily, because Nando really hasn't been in the car.
Oh, you mean Fernando.
It's always Fernando Alonso. Full name, possibly a better season for him. But no, I think Kimi is going to surprise. I think Lotus F1 is going to surprise. They've got the Renault package, and aerodynamically, they're looking pretty strong, Nasser.
Well, that's very good, but, you know, again, it's just first test session, and dethroning Red Bull, McLaren, Ferrari, it's not going to be easy.
Of course not.
And a win or two will not win you a championship.
I understand, and of course, I think Red Bull will be really, once again, very strong. McLaren could be very, very strong, even though Perez could be making some mistakes and bringing them down.
Well, so you hope, all right?
Exactly. We'll see what happens. But Button, of course, he will keep everything stable. And everybody, all eyes are on Mercedes.
And why is that?
Well, because your friend, LCH.
LCH has got his work cut out. But I think, you know, just like Kimi last year, a talent like that will find a way to win a race, just like Sebastian Vettel found a way to win a race in Toro Rosso. And like I've said before, quite a few races take place in the rain these days, and that's where he is lethal. LCH is lethal in the rain.
Well, we'll see what happens. I know a couple of other drivers that are pretty lethal in the rain as well.
Yes, but some are more lethal than others.
And it's going to be an interesting season because we won't have Schumacher to pick on.
Well, you know, it was not that I'm the greatest Schumacher fan, but those 3 years were very disappointing. It really screwed up his stats, and it really shows, you know, no matter how great you are, you got to have the package. No package, no delivery. And I remember Graham Hill, you know, when he kept going with his Embassy Hill, Lola, Shadow. It was pretty sad.
It was pretty sad.
And you don't, whether you like the guy or not, I mean, it's like Alonso. You don't want to see him driving a HRT just because it's a Spanish team. It's like Emerson Fittipaldi with the Emerson Fittipaldi Copa Sucre project. That was sad. And this was also sad. But, you know, like you said once about somebody else, we don't need to feel sorry. They have millions and millions, hundreds of millions of dollars. So they're laughing all the way to the bank, the credit union, the postal union. So good for him.
Exactly. So there you have it. Force India. Let's talk about them. Adrian Sutil.
Well, we still don't know who will order the curry to go, Jules Bianchi or Adrian Sutil. A team was impressed with Bianchi's team from Jerez testing, But Sutil apparently has a bigger sponsorship package. And, you know, the trouble just keep brewing for Vijay Mallya and now his partner who had bought a big chunk of the team, Roy Subrata Sahara of the Sahara Group. They are in, like, not hundreds of millions, but like billions of dollars in debt and problems. So I'll be very surprised, not that I wish this, but I'll be very surprised if this team is still Force India in 2 years. This probably will get sold or something.
Let's hope so.
Yeah. Well, not that we hope so, but...
Well, I mean, I don't want to lose another F1 team. We lost HRT.
And, no, this is based in Silverstone. This will survive. This is already their third or fourth name. So it could be, you know, Force Gibraltar or Force Angola. I don't know. Because they have a lot of oil in Angola now.
I understand, but I don't see that happening.
Yeah, but it'll be sad. I mean, like you said, we don't want to lose a team, that's for sure.
Keep up the good work, Nasser.
And I think Nico Hülkenberg made the right move, you know.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Very good move by Nico Hülkenberg. Caterham, they really need to pick up the pace. They have the Renault package. And if they don't do something with it, and I'm sure they're getting a lot of input from Renault, but they really need to get past the Marussias significantly.
Well, they do have a very nice color scheme now, which is very impressive. But in the new signing, 27-year-old Guido van der Garde, who is also known as Giga in his native Nederland, he will be the first Dutch driver on Grand Prix circuit since Christian Albers in 2007. Remember him?
I remember him.
His mama and papa live in Georgia.
Exactly. They like peaches. Yeah. And do you find it surprising that people like Heikki Kovalainen are already out of Formula One? Remember when Heikki won driving for McLaren?
The Hungarian Grand Prix.
And said, congratulations, welcome to...
the world of winning.
Yeah, and now look at nothing.
Yeah, but, you know, it's pretty sad how things have turned out. But, you know, it's one of those things. He has a lot of experience, like, truly... but the thing is, you know, when you get your chance in Formula One, you really have to grab it. You know, whether it's Liuzzi versus Scott Speed, Jaime Alguersuari versus Sebastian Buemi. Kovalainen, you know, was on pole for the British Grand Prix in the rain. And, you know, his teammate forced the issue and won the race. And for me, the defining moment, and I know people who like Heikki Kovalainen, not that I dislike the guy. Say he had a dry setup at Monza when Sebastian Vettel won the race in Toro Rosso. He was on the front row. For me, and I'll never forget, I think this was David Hobbs' comment on the podium when he made a comment about Kovalainen looking like and thinking that this was the race he should have won. If you can, and McLaren was a pretty good car at that time. If you cannot beat win a race in that car, or a Toro Rosso, Minardi, whatever, then, you know, the verdict is out, how good you are. I mean, of course, you're very good if you make it to Formula One, but then there's a difference between certain teammates, you know. But as far as going back to their Dutch driver, Mr. Giga, Jos, the boss for Verstappen, was the last Dutch driver to be on the podium in 1994, and I don't think he will be losing any sleep while Guido is at Caterham about losing that slot. But I have a feeling that our friend, Mr. Robin Freins, is going to be in the next few years the first Dutch driver to win a Formula One race. There has never been a Dutch Grand Prix winner.
That's going to be exciting.
Yeah.
I don't see that happening, but let's hope so.
It'll be quite a Dutch treat. No, he's very good. He's already, after winning 3 championships in 3 years, he's already at Sauber. So we'll see how it goes.
No, I agree. We're pro Robert.
Robert who?
Fringe.
Robin Fringe.
Robin Fringe.
I thought you were thinking of Robert Kubica.
No, I was thinking of Robert Goulet, actually. But, yeah. Kubica, it's over.
Yeah, it's a Formula One is over. Yeah. Sad, but, you know.
DTM, maybe, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah. So, shall we talk about Nando now?
Fernando, el hombre más macho de España. It's no longer muy macho, it's más macho.
Más macho, oh boy.
Yep, it's over, dude. He is winning the championship this year.
You think so?
Yeah, positive.
Have you heard of a guy named Sebastian Vettel?
Yeah, but see, the problem is the numbers, the stats have stacked up against... Okay, he's done the hat trick. You cannot move 4 in a row, it's not possible.
It's been done by another German, older German... I think this whippersnapper is going to, if they have the car, he's going 4 in a row.
I know, but
tick tock.
I don't to be honest with you, those numbers are really hard to put together. Nando hasn't won a championship, and he's been pretty close. I think the numbers are going to start shifting towards Oviedo.
Well, you know, Ferrari came close to winning the championship with your man driving a prancing pig, and now they have re-engaged South African Rory Byrne to assist on the 2014 car. But hopefully he'll have some input in this year's, you know, machine and season also. But they really have to have a very fast car to topple Sebastian Vettel. And don't forget, Mr. Brazier's boy, JB.
Yeah, but don't forget, Nando almost won the championship with a pig of a car.
That is true. Can't deny that.
So against a very fast Red Bull and McLaren. So really, all they have to do is give him a pretty good car, and Nando is going to go all the way.
No, but you know, see, now that we have so many races, if you try to win on a consistency, in the old days when there were like 13, 15 races, it was a given that you will have at least a couple of Kablamos, engine, transmission, whatever, and a driver will make at least one mistake. So you had always three races where you will not score, and then somebody can run into you also. You know what I'm saying? But now there are so many races that if you're trying to win on consistency, it gives the other guy to come back and mount a comeback. Coming from the, as we have seen, a touchdown return, what is called punt return for a touchdown, 90
Correct.
Yards, 100 yards.
Thank you very much,
Nathan. And somebody has already done twice in the last 3 years. So there is no icky words in Formula One, let me tell you that.
Well, I know one thing. It's going to get exciting. It's going to be a great season, and Fernando is going to be on top of it. The key for me is how well Nico Hülkenberg does at Sauber and finally gets the ultimate win for them, because their car was pretty fast last year. Mm-hmm. Their car is going to perform again this year, I am sure. So it's going to be fascinating.
It's a very good looking car. Very
and of good. Course, Felipe Massa has to haul in some points this year.
Yeah, and talking of Sauber, I am excited to see our amigo Esteban Gutierrez putting a lot of miles on the car in the testing without making any major mistakes. So, you know, he's going to... And they both come from Formula BMW, same team, Kaufman Racing. I think they will work together and see what happens. I'll be surprised if Esteban can rattle his cage in the first half. But I do expect him to perform in the second half, like Hülkenberg did with Di Resta, who is the cousin of Dario Franchitti.
Shameful.
Now single and ready to mingle. So that's how it goes.
It's going to be exciting. No, keep up the good work. But I expect Ferrari to have a much more improved car this year.
What about Williams? What say you?
Well, Williams is going to step up to the plate. They got Valtteri Bottas, who's considered a professional, not a rookie. He is going to have to rattle, and I think he will rattle Pastor Maldonado.
Yeah.
And I think the Renault Package did well for them last year. They won a race. They could be competitive. They've done some reshuffling, but we'll see what happens. And of course, they have a wonderful test driver that could really pick up their game. And good looking, too.
Oh, yeah. No, I think my pick for the cage rattle of the year is Bottas. And I think where Bottas should do very well is that, hey, he's quick. And, you know, he beat, if I recall correctly, Daniel Ricciardo to win the Formula Renault Euro Cup. And he does not make a lot of mistakes. Pastor is quick, but, you know, he's kind of wild bull, you know, raging bull. So we'll see how it goes. JB, you're not saying much about JB.
JB's going to be Button. He's always going to be Mr. Smooth Operator. We know McLaren's going to be fast out of the box. The car looks great. McLaren was fast last year. Don't forget, when we got to Australia in 2012, everybody said, wow, McLarens are the ones to beat for the championship right away. They looked fast. They won the race. They were stupendous. Machismo, LCH, Jenson Button, an outstanding team. That's over, Nasser. That's over. Not only that, but Lewis Hamilton at this very moment is sharing top secret technical details about the McLaren setup, the downforce, the aero package to their boys in Stuttgart.
You mean sending text messages from Venice Beach?
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, good for them. But no, I want to see Mercedes come on strong. I want to see LCH rattle some cages. We've seen that movie before. But this time, rattle cages of other teams, not just a teammate. You know what I'm saying?
No, it's going to be exciting. And I'm hoping Mercedes do it. Because if they don't, and I've had some conversations with some fellow Europeans, and a lot of people believe that Mercedes will not stay in Formula One if they don't start getting close to a championship.
Well, they have to. They have to win. Otherwise, it's Das Party is over. This team will become something else. Okay, now we don't talk too much about Toro Rosso. How do you think Ricciardo will do against your homeboy Jean-Éric Vergne?
I think
whatever the name is.
Jean-Éric Vergne, like Jules Verne. I think they're going to do well. Their biggest problem is the car. They need to get more, steal more from Adrian Newey. And even though the team is in Italy, Faenza, I think it's going to be fairly critical for Ricciardo to continue dominating. I think Ricciardo has an edge over Jean-Éric Vergne. And the problem is, I don't think they've put a lot of time and effort into this car because the 2014 season is really sucking a lot of energy from these small teams in terms of design, fluid dynamics, aero, motors, and of course they're going with Renault next season. It's going to be interesting, but I believe development-wise, the Toro Rosso is not going to be a big leaper. And I know they've been talking about sixth in the Constructors Championship. I don't think that's going to happen. I honestly believe most of this season for Toro Rosso is going to look like 2012 and their focus on getting a car that's going to be competitive in 2014.
Good, sir. Good. And, you know, talking of fluid, next week we will feature a new monthly segment called Tech Talk by Tim. This will be presented by one of our loyal listeners, Mr. Tim Schwartz. And you met this gentleman in Tejas at the Grand Prix?
That's correct.
Okay. In his first presentation, he will be talking about the intriguing world of CFD, computational fluid dynamics.
And of course, this young man is from Palo Alto.
Yeah, he's going to Stanford, and he's originally from Nueva Jersey.
Exactly. So we get nothing but the best.
Oh, yeah. And he was very gracious to accept our offer of zero checks.
Of course, which is a nice check.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a very long. So he said, yeah, he'll accept it.
Exactly. With my picture up on the right-hand corner.
Absolutely. In Clark, we trust.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Okay. Now, did you hear that? This was. I did not read the whole thing. I think there's more to it. I read a news item saying that a parts recycler have bought HRT cars. That's pretty pathetic.
It's very sad. But what can you do?
Yeah. That's.
I think as they were cleaning the HRT cars, they found old tapas under the seat.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Apparently, Pedro de la Rosa kept a little snack.
Yeah, Pedro de la Rosa. Well, I've been hearing...
Did you
reading,
hear?
Yeah, I've been reading that Pedro de la Rosa has been texting Nando about how the car is developing.
Very much so. Very much so.
It's true. You know, history repeats itself.
It's very true. And Pedro is part of the team now. They love the Españoles over there.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you have to get the job done. Español or Rossignol, doesn't matter. So, anyway... have you heard Kobayashi in a Ferrari?
Yes, World Endurance.
Yeah, he may be racing a Ferrari in the World Endurance Championship. And I think he and Fisico will make a good pairing. And this is my idea. On one side of the car, they should have a slogan saying, "Where is the winning F1 car?" And on the other side, "Where is the F1 sponsorship?"
Very droll, Nasser, very droll.
We're trying to help these people.
I understand. But you know what? The World Endurance Championship is a good championship. They go all over the world. They race at decent tracks. I find nothing wrong with Kobayashi teaming up with Bravo, 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 Fisico having a good time.
No, as a professional driver, you will be paid also.
Exactly.
I think it's a good idea.
And, you know, being in the Ferrari Familia is not a bad thing.
No. With any major manufacturer or a racing manufacturer, it's always a good idea.
Actually, yes.
I
agree with you. And this could bring sponsorship to Ferrari from maybe Panasonic or Chop Suey.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, you look at all these drivers who are racing for Porsche and Porsche Cup here, Porsche Cup there. They make a decent money. They travel the world. So it's a good life.
I concur. No, I think it's exciting. I was just having a sip of my cucumber juice sponsored by Sebastian Vettel.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, ironically, I'm having the same thing, but mine is sponsored by Naren Karthikeyan.
That's so beautiful. Ying and yang.
There you go. Anything else, sir?
No, that's about it. Unfortunately, the sad news, great guy, great fabricator, the king of kings when it comes to fabrication. And he was there at Le Mans when the Pièce de Résistance beat Ferrari. And, of course, I'm talking about Phil Remington.
Yes, sir. You know, he was 92 years old. His involvement in motor racing goes back to Lance Reventlow's Scarab F1 project. And I remember once, you know, Scarab project was a front engine Formula One car built in Southern California. We're talking late 50s. So it arrived in Formula One at the wrong time. And like you said, Phil Remington was there when I think it was Bruce McLaren who tested the Ford GT car for the first time in England when Ford was, you know, going against Ferrari. And then he worked for Dan Gurney for a long, long time. And I used to, you know, when Willie Tiris was racing with them after the test session was done, or, you know, they had some time and Phil would be sitting there, I would go and chat with him. And I remember distinctly talking to him about Lance Reventlow, who was the son of Barbara Hutton. And some years ago, we interviewed him at Laguna Seca, a great motorsports life he lived and will be missed by all who knew him. Our condolences to the Remington family and all at All American Racers.
Take a quick break, and we'll be back after this brief message.
This F1 Weekly podcast is brought to you by the Holiday Inn Select Indianapolis Airport. This Holiday Inn Select is a full-service, atrium-style hotel and conference center. While a guest there, make use of the free high-speed internet access, indoor pool, and fitness center. Or enjoy the good life at the Chanteclair restaurant, with its award-winning French cuisine and strolling violinist. Or race over to the spot of F1 Weekly's Listener Appreciation Friday social event, Benchwarmer Sports Bar. Catch all the race action on multiple TVs while enjoying the food and daily drink specials. The hotel is located directly across from the Indianapolis International Airport and provides free 24-hour shuttle service and guest parking. It's close to downtown and to the site of the 2007 Formula One United States Grand Prix, the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, which makes this hotel an ideal choice for business, pleasure, and for the listeners of this podcast. Call for your reservation today to 1-317-244-6861 or 1-888-HOLIDAY or book online through www.hiselect.com. You know you want to.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the king, the guru himself, Nasser Hamid.
Thank you, sir. Greetings and regards from Milton Keynes. We're going to Chollyhill, England first to have a chat with Mr. Peter Prizia. We did a conversation with him a few days ago, wanted to get his professional and expert opinion on how the first test session has gone. So I would like to thank Mr. Brazier for his time. And here is the chit chat.
Okay, folks, on the line from jolly old England in Leighton Buzzard is Mr. Brazier. Peter, welcome to F1 Weekly again, sir. How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you, Nazir. How are you?
Very good, sir. Thank you. Sun is about to come out here in Cali. And how cold is the weather in your part of the world?
We haven't seen any sun today. The sun is just going down at the moment. It's raining and snowing at the same time. It's pretty miserable, sort of typical English weather.
Okay, so right, perfect time to talk about motor racing.
Absolutely.
Okay, what did you like from the first session in Jerez? Any surprises? What do you like? What you don't like? What's the best-looking car? Let's just get down to the nitty-gritty things.
Of course, and I think you have to preface everything with the fact that it is a pre-season test, and it's not only that, it's the first pre-season test, so everybody will say the times don't matter. But nevertheless, we got to see the cars for the first time, and I think overall they look better than last year. especially the cars that have taken the option of this vanity panel. Whether or not that vanity panel will be on the cars at the first race, I don't know. The one car that stuck out for me throughout all the launches was the Sauber. It looked very clean. The colour scheme was gorgeous. I suppose at the other end of the spectrum, the biggest disappointment was the look of the Caterham. I'm trying to be a Caterham fan. They're making it very difficult, but they've changed the colour green, and they've gone for a brighter fluorescent green away from the sort of traditional British racing green. Have you seen that, Nazir?
I have seen that, and I love that color scheme on the Caterham.
Okay.
And also, I have to totally agree with you on the Sauber. It's a very sweet-looking racing machine, and also very exciting with that team this year. Two new drivers, very talented, and definitely a team to watch this year.
Absolutely. I think all of the cars look good this year. I think whatever steps and lowered noses remain, I think it's partly because we're used to it, but most certainly these vanity panels do make a difference and it does look better. But I suspect if they're not going to do anything for performance, and even though they only weigh a few ounces, I'm sure they'll get discarded for the race, because even a few ounces means something to them. So.
Right, agree. Now, what about Scuderia Ferrari? They said the fastest time from 4 days of testing, but it was not numero uno at the wheel. But Mr. Avis, number two, and trying harder all the time. Do you think they have the car right this time from the get-go?
It looks it, and they were making the right noises, weren't they? Philippe came out and said that he thought the car was completely different from last year's car. And at the end of the day, he did set the fastest time, and it was by a good margin, I think 0.3 or something over Kimi Raikkonen.
How do you think he will do this year, especially compared to his illustrious teammate?
Politics aside, I hope Massa's got the same head on his shoulders that he had at the end of last season, because he is a good driver, and he can, you know, he was seconds away and a point away from winning a championship, and after that accident things didn't go well. But if he's driving as well as he can drive, and of course there's no doubt that his teammate, the number one, will be on, because I think he's as hungry as he's ever been, then Ferrari could sweep the board this year. Time will tell. It's going to be one of these issues. I think, to the length of rule stability that we've had, lots of teams up there again, it's probably even going to be closer than last season, which will be fantastic.
Now, you know, if Ferrari has a car that is as competitive and just head and shoulders above everybody as Red Bull had a couple of years ago, I just cannot see Massa being allowed or able to win, or even on his own, a championship with Ferrari over Nando. So I wish him well, nice guy, and this is, you know, the window of opportunity to become the first Brazilian world champion, and Senna is closing for him rapidly, and it will be great if he can pull it off. Same thing for Mark Webber, but I just cannot see Felipe Massa as world champion over Alonso as a teammate. This would be like expecting to see Kovalainen winning a world championship over LCH as a teammate. But like you say, time will tell. The question is, if Massa went as quick, and let's just say that these are, well, as real time as they can be in testing, if Massa went that quick, how fast do you think Nando will be?
Faster. There's no question. Fernando Alonso last year was driving at his best ever, and he's probably at the top of his, as you say, the politics will rule who's going to be standing on top of the podium, but it has to be looking good for them. But having said that, this is only a pre-season test. You can't rely on the times being an indication of how well the cars are going to run. We've got a new set of Pirellis to run with, and they've been messing around with the tyres. They've been given a brief to make it more exciting.
No, as far as Nando is concerned, you know, I was thinking early this morning that his victory in Malaysia was like magic, no question about it. And that got me thinking to his first win with McLaren, and that, which also, if I remember correctly, happened in Malaysia. That was also a very impressive win. So it will be very interesting to see if they have a competitive package, how far Nando can take it. And if he can win a championship with Ferrari, that's going to be very, very impressive. And talking of Pirelli, do you think, I know there are some changes to the compound like you mentioned, do you think we're going to see the Pirelli lottery again or even more so?
I think even more so. I think people were impressed with how Pirelli had handled the season and the tyres they'd produced. I think people have also understood what Pirelli are doing from a point of view of producing tyres that are very different, have high wear rates, what that has done to contribute to the show. I'm in two minds about it because I don't like tyres. I don't like the fact that tyres have a disproportional effect on the performance of the car. But as you always say, Nazir, the cream has risen. And I believe that will happen again next year. But yes, the tyres, the Pirelli lottery is going to be an even bigger game next year.
Now we move on to the Lotus lads. Two Lotus cars in the top four. Kimi was second and Romain Grosjean fourth, with the time very close to Kimi, who was clocked at 118.48. What's your take on the Lotus team for this year?
I'm sure they're not going to take a step back over the winter. And they've got arguably the finest driver pairing on the grid. Perhaps. I'm having to think out loud there when I was saying that, because also I think Mercedes have a very good driver pairing, but I don't believe they've got the vehicle to go with it.
I have to agree with you. I think this is the most exciting and fastest pairing you can have. And, of course, our man Kimi knows what he's doing and managed to win a race last year in Abu Dhabi. I would be, hoping that he can maybe win some races and even, you know, stay fully Finlandia-focused on the championship. That will be great. And as far as Grosjean is concerned, he survived digital slings and arrows from the media and was branded first lap nutcase by Mark Webber last year. And hopefully he will show in this season that he is no longer part of the wing-ding circus. Will it surprise you if Grosjean gets a win or two this year?
No, it wouldn't surprise me at all. It wouldn't surprise me at all.
And, you know, I've met him a few times. He's a pretty nice kid. He's a very simple, low-key kind of guy a few times I've met him. So it will be nice to see a nice guy win a race, too. Now let's talk about the steamroller for the last 3 years, Red Bull. They are not making much waves right now, but that's pretty much their style. What do you think are the chances on a scale of 1 to 10 of Seb going four in a row this year?
The only thing I think that's going against him is statistics. They've still got the Red Bull Dream Team there. They've undoubtedly got a good car. No reason why they shouldn't be out on top. Unless one has a step up in performance and is able to maintain that throughout the season. But obviously, Sebastian Vettel is just one thing. They've got no changes at the team. The personnel is still the same. They've got the same Horner, Newey, Marco. Everybody else is there. So I think he's probably the favorite.
Yeah, I have to agree with you on that. And you said it very well. Only thing going against him is the statistics. But, you never know. Another German has pulled it off five in a row, so this one will not be a surprise. But you know what is scary for the competition with this guy? We've seen him win super uber domination when the car is really cream, top of the class. But we've also seen him basically ruin Mark Webber's championship coming from behind when I really thought he had no chance, but he pulled it off. And then pretty much ruined Nando's championship last year. So he can come back and even if he does not have a good car early part of the season. And Red Bull and Newey and the people they have, not much change as you say. I think they can still pull it off if they don't have a real quick start to the season. Do you see any chance if the car is the best in the field of Mark Webber beating Sebastian Vettel to the championship? Politics or no politics?
you have to think no, don't you? He nearly did it once. I don't think the politics in the team will allow him to. I mean, Helmut Marko made it very, very clear where he stands.
Yeah, and my thing is, you know, he may have a little bit better chance than Massa in becoming a world champion from his team, but I, nice guy, and it would be great to see another Australian world champion since Alan Jones, but I think the chances are, pretty slim.
Yeah. Okay. And I also think this is his last year. You know, it's he's, how old is he now?
You must be in a close to, 35, I think.
So he's getting, and Red Bull have got a big bank of drivers to pull on, to put in with Vettel. So this must be Mark's last year, and I don't know how that would play on you psychologically, but it must have some effect.
You don't think he will go to Ferrari to replace Massa? Because I don't see Sebastian Vettel going to Ferrari as long as Nando is there.
No, and I think that's quite a likely thing to happen. As long as Mark wants to continue, whether, at that age, he wants to start again at a new team. You know, even if he signed for three years, would be age of 40.
Now let's move on to your eternal favorite, Jenson Button and McLaren. What do you think? Do you think we're going to see any cage rattling, first of all, between him and Sergio Perez?
You'd have to think not, wouldn't you? If Lewis Hamilton was unable to rattle his cage, I would have to check the numbers, but in the three seasons they were together, I think Jenson actually scored more points than Lewis over the 3 years together. But if Lewis Hamilton wasn't capable of rattling Jenson Button's cage, you've got to think there's no way Sergio Perez in his first year, no matter how good he is.
Yeah, I agree with you. And also, you know what a lot of people in the media, serious or senior media people, I should say, have said about Sergio Perez, that most of his impressive runs came when he was starting outside the top 10. So he had the choice of choosing the tires. But, he still did a very good job and very impressive job, Sergio Perez. But I have to agree with you. I just cannot see. For him to rattle Button's cage, who was quite a match for Lewis Hamilton, and let's not forget, Button won two races at McLaren before Lewis got one when they were teammates. I have to think to rattle anybody to rattle Jenson Button's cage, they have to be as quick and good as Lewis Hamilton. I just cannot see Perez being in that category, at least at this stage of his career. But we will see what happens.
It's going to be interesting. I mean, I'm really looking forward to the season. It's going to be very interesting.
My 2 rupees will be on, as we speak, things may change by the final test session or maybe after the first race in Melbourne. But my 2 rupees right now are on Sebastian Vettel and JB. Who do you think are the top two contenders for this season?
Well, it's going to be between the cars. Whether or not this supposed step in performance that McLaren have taken, which they're still talking about after Jenson came out on Tuesday and set the fastest time of the day, although that time's been beaten now, they're still talking about it in the various blogs and online reports about the testing, that was an exceptional time, and perhaps McLaren have been sandbagging ever since. I don't know. I don't believe you can read things from testing that well. When the lights go out in Melbourne, we'll start to get a...
Okay. Surprise of testing. Who surprised you from the testing?
They seem to be well on the pace. They seem to have the reliability. They were doing lots of laps. And so, Sauber, too, were putting in the lap. I'm just looking down the sheet at the moment. I don't think that much has changed from last year because there's been so little change in the rules. So it's difficult to tell, isn't it? It's difficult to tell.
Yeah, the weather in Jerez is going to be very different when they race in Melbourne. But for me, the surprise was a couple of friends of F1 Weekly, very pleased to say, Jules Bianchi recorded the third fastest time. And again, I won't read too much into it, but it's still very impressive for a guy who's really fighting for a seat and under pressure after two seasons in GP2 and one season in World Series by Renault. And also Esteban Gutierrez has also impressed me and quite a few people with his time. He was sixth fastest. And Esteban, what really I was very pleased to see, he put in a lot of laps. And, you know, you see a lot of first-timers go and crash the car, but he has pretty much kept it on the track. So this is very exciting for Esteban and his followers.
Do you think Jules Bianchi will get that second seat?
You know what? It's been I'm in touch with you know, he's managed by Nicola Todd and his assistant Olivier Menu. I'm in touch with him. I know Olivier is also in Jerez right now, and his lips are sealed. But I was looking at the possibility that it's going to be for sure in between Jules Bianchi and Adrian Sutil. Sutil is somebody the team is very familiar with, and he's done a pretty decent job. He has really surprised me. Normally, you know what I've seen, if a driver who does not have a good car, if he goes very well in the wet, which Adrian Sutil always does, that driver is also impressive in the dry. And in dry racing, Adrian Sutil has not really impressed me. And then with Jules Bianchi going to Jerez testing, I thought maybe his chances are good, and he did very well. But now, all of a sudden, in the last day or two, I'm reading these reports or rumors that Naren Karthikeyan is also trying to get that seat. Have you seen that?
Well, I read it somewhere. I didn't know whether to believe it. I mean, of course, if they're trying to attract money from that part of the world. But the whole situation is very strange.
Yeah, you know, in the past, Vijay Mallya had stated there were no Indian F1 caliber drivers, and I remember there was at one time a few years ago war of words between Mallya and Naren Karthikeyan, but they reported increase in sponsorship from Naren's main backer Tata, which is like the GE of India, and these are the same people who own Jaguar now. That may change his opinion. We all know when money talks, EF Hutton, Merrill Lynch, and Mallya, they all listen. But nothing against Naren, but it will be pathetic if Bianchi bounces back to test driver role. I mean, here is a driver who has won, you know, in Formula Renault, F3 Euro Championship, was third twice in GP2, and last year almost won the World Series by Renault. This is a very good talent. I rate him in the same category as Nico Hülkenberg and Romain Grosjean. But what really got me thinking that this is a serious effort to grab this seat is there was a comment from his management team that, yes, we are talking, and if things don't work out, we'll go and race in America in the IndyCar series. So maybe there is something, maybe there is some spicy curry cooking behind the scene.
You never know.
You never know. Any other team you want to talk about before we move on to rookies?
No, obviously it's disappointing that Williams haven't got their new car out there, and we're running very slowly and with their old car. So we have to wonder what's going on there. But let's talk about these rookies, because I'm wanting to be educated here on these new guys, and I know you follow them closely.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, Peter, as now every time I hear Esteban Gutierrez's name and or see him or read about him, it's just kind of a strange, nice feeling that, hey, you know, we met this kid when he was in Formula BMW. We stayed in touch with him, and it's very nice to see that. He was sixth overall, as we said, from the first preseason test, which is F1 Weekly language Mexican machismo. And his association with the team dates back to his days in Formula BMW in 2007 and 2008. First, he raced in the U.S. series, starting his first two races ever from pole position in Salt Lake City racetrack, the Miller Motorsports Park. Won a lot of races and ended the season as Rookie of the Year. And it was around this time that he really impressed Dr. Mario Tyson and people at BMW. And I say this because, you know, when we interviewed Dr. Tyson, he had expressed this, his feelings about him, and also Sebastian Vettel, who was under contract, if I remember correctly, to BMW at that time. And I remember they had a race here in San Jose, a street race, IndyCar race, and Formula BMW cars were also racing. And I was talking to a gentleman from Formula BMW Germany, you know, like one of the organizing people. And I asked him, any young drivers here that we should keep an eye on? And the first and I think name he took was Esteban Gutierrez. So in 2009, Esteban stamped his authority in the European version, winning six races in a row and winning his first championship at the end of the season. He was also the first ever champion in GP3 in 2009. And this is where he really, I think it was 2010. He really impressed me because he won the championship over a very competitive field, which included Robert Wickens of Canada and Alexander Rossi of California. And both of these youths had won a U.S. version of the Formula BMW championship. And last year, I have to say, and I'm sure Esteban will agree on this, it was not the season we all were expecting from him. It was his second season and championship was expected, as is expected this year from Felipe Nasr in his second year. But Esteban finished third behind GP2 veterans Luis Razia and series winner Davide Valsecchi. But also talking to other drivers and team managers who have raced against Esteban, they all speak very highly of him, especially Mr. Josef Kaufmann, for whose team he drove in Formula BMW Europe. And with the sponsor Telmex fully behind him, I think he could be a surprise this year. Sauber looks like a fast car, and you know what they say, if it looks fast, it will go fast. My only concern would be that he does not do what he did in F3 Euro Series, where he went after Formula BMW, and in his own words to me was, I was trying very hard to get a good result and made a lot of mistakes. So if he, take a chill pill and just, as I would say, sink in the system of Formula One and go, step by step, he for sure has the speed, has the talent, and I think he will do very well. Even Adrian Fernandez said to me that on pure speed, Esteban is faster than Checo, also known as Sergio Perez. So I'm expecting a lot of things, and it will be great for Mexico to have a couple of drivers, competitive drivers, as there is, I think there is like a 90% chance we're going to see a Formula One race in Mexico, in a couple of years. Now, how do you think he is going to go against the highly touted teammate, Nico Hülkenberg?
Well, it's not going to happen immediately. It won't be the first half of the season. We will have to wait and see.
Okay.
Tell me, will Telmex be featured on the Sauber?
Well, two of their brands are Telcel and Claro. Claro is a name they use all over South America. So Telcel is part of Telmec, and so is Telcel.
That explains it. Okay.
Yeah. And of course, they have NEC, which is a huge Japanese computer company. One of the tequila people had also joined as a sponsor last year. I don't think I've seen their name. But I'm sure they're working very hard to find more money, and who isn't? Now we move on to your fellow Brit, Max Chilton. He is branded as a rich little kid. His father is one of the head honchos at Aon Insurance. Is Aon pretty big in England? I know I see their names in British touring cars because his brother is also racing there. Is that a big name in UK?
Yes, it is, yeah. And they do sponsor a lot of automotive stuff, obviously, being an insurance company. So.
Yeah, Max Chilton was thrown in British F3 at a very young age, and he spent like three seasons there. But he is quick and was very impressive last year in GP2. So I think this kid is very talented, and just like James Collado, who is in GP2 this year. And I will not be surprised if Chilton, even though he may be branded as a pay driver, I think he can hold his own and stay in Formula One. And it'll be very good to see if he can make it happen, just like Sergio Perez. And actually, his background in FIDE Series is pretty much like Sergio Perez, pretty decent, but nothing like Lewis Hamilton or Jenson Button, who you knew were going to Formula One, but just based on how they were winning.
And then, how do you think he's going to stack up against his team, Luis Razia?
Interesting, Luis Razia. He is a pretty decent driver. Almost had a very good chance of winning the GP2 championship last year, and a nice guy, nice friendly guy, as has been the case when you meet Brazilian drivers. And Luis Razia said to me at Monza that if I don't get a seat in Formula One, I don't want to be in racing. So I think you have two young drivers, very determined, And in terms of performance, I would, based on experience of the drivers, I think Luis Razia will have an edge on Max Chilton in the early going. But I've been wrong before, so I'm ready for that. What do you think?
I don't know them. I don't know them. So I'm not in a position. I mean, I'll be rooting for Max, obviously. I know very little.
Okay, the one another rookie who's been knocking on the door of Formula One for a while is Guido van der Garde. He, in my opinion, is the Dutch Rubinho and Massa. Quick and reliable. And he has won races in GP2 and has been very impressive on occasions. And the moral of the story here is if you don't have a rich father, at least find a rich father-in-law. And that is a Smarty Pants comment sponsored by McGregor, and that's one of the brands owned, I think, by his father-in-law. But Guido is a fast driver, and I think he could be a solid number two in a Formula One team. I don't think this guy is like you and I were talking yesterday. If you make it to Formula One, you are very quick. Now, how quick you are compared to, Hamilton or a Button or a Vettel, only time will tell. But I think this guy is another guy who, given some help, can sustain himself and survive in Formula One and be picked up by a team in a few years. Now, the next rookie is one of my favorites in terms of based on his past performance. Mr. Valtteri Bottas, he's replacing Bruno Senna at Williams, another fast import in Formula One from Finlandia, and a very nice and friendly personality to go with. Bottas beat Daniel Ricciardo in a close fight to win the Formula Renault Euro Cup and also raced in Formula 3, where, if I remember correctly, I think he won the prestigious Masters of F3 back-to-back, which was the first time that it was done. His association in Williams, or at Williams, came courtesy of his management also holding a stake in Williams, thanks to Toto Wolff, who in turn is also involved with Didier Coton and Mika Hakkinen, who run Aces Management. And Didier is the same guy who is also assisting LCH and his entourage. And you know, I just saw this morning on Autosport Peter or some other website that Lewis Hamilton is making some changes to his management, so who knows what's going on there. But going back to Bottas, he won the GP3 championship in 2011 and was then test driver for Williams and ran impressive times on Fridays. And some of the people in the team are very impressed because apparently he has posted faster times than Pastor Maldonado on Grand Prix weekends. And he could be very well become Cage Rattler of the Year unless he gets a radio message saying Maldonado is faster than you. Do you think that will happen at Williams?
No, I don't think it will happen at Williams, but stranger things have happened.
Okay, so much for the testing review. Any other things that you are expecting this season that may surprise us?
My phone going off. Hang on.
Is Flavio calling you?
No, it's Lorraine. There we go. Right, she's got it. Ask me that again. I've forgotten the question now.
No, apart from the season, in terms of racing on the track this season long, are you expecting any surprises? My take is the scenery at the front will be pretty much the same. The order may get shuffled a little bit.
Absolutely, I agree. I think it's up for grabs. We've got four, perhaps five teams that will be up there. It'll be interesting to see how Mercedes get along with this new management team and their new driver. There'll be lots go. I'm really disappointed with some of the backmarkers, though. Both Marussia and Caterham just haven't lifted themselves off, and they're still seconds behind, not tenths of seconds. But we've got five rookies this year, which is exciting. Some new people to look at and talk about. And they're not all in also-ran teams. So there are some rookies in some of the midfield and possibly above midfield teams. So it'll be a good season. Do you think we'll get the 20th race?
You know, the date is still open, and I think Bernie, as much as he loves money and making things happen, I have a feeling that there may be a race somewhere. I just don't know where they will slot it in.
France. I think someone will pull something out of a bag somewhere. Bernie's holding out for
more money
from someone.
Yeah, I don't think the FFSA, which is the French Motorsport Authority, they are willing to pay what is required. You know, I even saw a mention that Imola might hold a race, and that would be interesting. And you know,
yeah, I also thought the other interesting at the Red Bull Ring, going back there. I'm sure money's no problem there.
For some reason, it was announced. I think it came from Red Bull themselves that there will not be a Formula One race there. But you know, things can change. One other possibility, and I know there is a lot of interest, but there was a shortfall of about like $6-7 million, was the bringing back the Turkish Grand Prix for this year, which is a fantastic track.
Great track, yes.
Now, apart from Romain Grosjean, do you expect any first-time winners this year?
You would have to say Romain is favorite to become a first-time winner. Force India, of course, shows flashes of brilliance on occasion. There's a possibility there that we could see the C. De Resta or whoever his potential partner is, but I suspect it won't be someone of the caliber. But De Resta has the ability. If the car is right on the day and circumstances fall into place, he could be the other one. But no, we've got lots of winners on the grid, haven't we? So first-time winners could be thin on the ground.
Yeah, what about Perez? I think if the McLaren is quick, I can see him winning a race.
Yes, I agree. I missed him off my list. Yeah, if obviously the McLaren's going to be in a race-winning form, and if he can hold it together, yeah. So, yeah, I think there's two, possibly three then, if we count De Resta in, if Force India can make everything slot together for a race weekend.
Among the rookies, any chance of a rookie winning a race?
I don't think so. I don't think any of them have cars under them. But who knows? With these new tyres, who knows?
Yeah, but you know, the good thing about having so many races, and especially now we have quite a few races where between Brazil, Malaysia, Japan, China, Belgium, Singapore, somewhere it's going to have a lot of rain. So that mixes up the thing and give us great moments like a driver during the red flag period enjoying ice cream and Coca-Cola. Okay, in conclusion, anything you would like to say, any message to the listeners or any points to ponder?
Well, I'm really excited about the season coming up. I hope everybody and I enjoy it. If you could send my regards to Clark and keep up the good work, both of you.
We will try to do so, and we thank you so much, and please stay warm.
Peter, thanks for an outstanding report, and there'll be a little extra something in your next paycheck. Ness, so how's everything here stateside?
Things are going very good. The California sunshine is coming back when I really need that. And as we speak, Daytona 500 qualifying is going on, and I am told Denica wants to be on pole real bad. So
of course, Nasser's talking about here in the Palatial Studios, we have the 55-inch plasma TV on the Daytona 500 in the background right now with the sound turned off.
That is correct, and qualifying is going on. So we'll see how that goes in this races next weekend. That should be fun. And, you know, really, really looking forward to next month. And you know what's happening next month in a park far away.
25 days, I believe, and it's going to be Australia.
Oh, mate. G'day. Yeah, mate. I'm really looking forward to it. I really like that track, and yep. Also the Montreal track, even though both are like street track circuit, but I enjoy them both very much.
Nando's looking forward to this race as well. He's going to set the pace for the season.
Correct me if I'm wrong. That's where Nando made his Grand Prix debut, right? Just like Kimi and just like Bouton and
correct.
Monty. Yeah, okay, so it'll be good. But, you know, let's talk about a little driver signings.
There's been some driver signings. Finally, Paul DeRusso is not alone, but he sort of still is. Yeah. I mean, they're close, but not quite.
Yeah, I mean, what's going on there?
I don't know. It was a sad picture. I mentioned it on the previous podcast. When there's a car unveiling, usually there's a familia, and there was just poor Paul.
Yeah. They could have brought in his cousin, you know.
They should have brought in his cousin as at least a test driver for the weekend or something.
Yeah, and he has time on hand these days.
Yeah, and he's got a little experience.
Yeah, sure. They keep saying that they're not looking for a driver with money. They want that talented driver. So they have Jaime Alguersuari, who I think is very talented. The kid won the British F3 in his rookie year. Quite a bit of experience. Sebastian Buemi is out there. Something is happening there. What it is, I don't know. But I, as somebody once said to me, it's always money, no matter what it is.
I know what it is. They keep checking their PayPal account, and the deposit hasn't come in yet.
Oh, just like a three-day hole.
Yeah, exactly. So as soon as that deposit comes in, I have a funny feeling Adrian Sutil, holding a broken champagne glass, will be saying, I'm back in town.
You know what I would suggest you do? You might want to check F1 Weekly's checkbook that no checks have been stolen.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, because, you know, if they get, Vijay Mallya sees a check with 10 zeros and there's no one or two, yeah, he's already in deep doo-doo anyway. So we'll see. But let's talk driver signings in other series, because there's a lot of action going on in other series.
There
also.
Is. There's action in World Series by Renault in all of the categories. And there's a lot of action in the new, I guess, the revamped FIA F3 European Championship. Is that what it's called?
Yeah,
now?
Something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. So we'll start with the most important one for you, World Series by Renault, also known as Formula Renault 3.5.
Where Renault always wins, Nasser.
Absolutely, sir. Danish driver Marco Sorensen and Filipino Marlon Stockinger will race with the Lotus team. Sorensen raced in the same series last year, while Stockinger, whose papito is Swiss and mama Filipino, was 10th in GP3 last year. And I met Marlon and his papa at Monza last year. Good people, decent people. We had a nice chat. And I'm hoping that they will be at the Malaysian Grand Prix, so maybe I can meet them there also.
And, of course, that means you are going to Malaysia.
Si, senor.
And we've applied for press passes
for the
GP2.
Gracias.
So we'll see what happens. Hopefully, yeah. No denial.
Hopefully, no denial. But, you know, we have a few wins right now. I'm sure I'll be able to hook up with cousin Felipe Nasir and his, you know, people. His uncle will be there, Amir. And, of course, then we have our amigo Esteban Gutierrez. We will have access to him, but obviously not in the para. Because his PR guy with whom I communicate normally, Max Granados, he will be at Sepang. So it's very exciting. We have friends who have reached to Formula One. This is fantastic. Okay. Earlier, it was announced that former series champion Russian Mikhail Aleshin will race for Tech One Team, which is based in southern French city of Toulouse, which is also home to Airbus. Have you ever been to Toulouse?
Yes, I have.
Really?
It's
nice
very
town?
Nice.
Nice town?
Of course, it's in the south.
Really?
Yeah.
Do they have French rednecks down there?
Well, yeah, and their hot dogs are merguez.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Wow. And what kind of guns they prefer?
A shotgun, double barrel.
Algerian shotguns?
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Okay, the reason I'm saying I'm surprised with Mikhail, what is he going to go and do? Because, you know, if you win the championship and you race again and you get beaten, it doesn't look good. And I don't know. And World Series by Renault is about $1 million package, which I think is a very good deal for a car like that. But I think this guy should come and race here in Indy cars, because a Russian racing at Indy 500, it's pretty impressive. So would be for a driver from Middle East or India. What say you?
Yeah, Bahrain is coming to Indy.
Yeah, he might be. He should have done that 2 years ago instead of blowing $20 million in a car that are good only for recyclers. You know, so next time you buy a Reynolds aluminum wrap,
it could be.
Let's see if you see like a HRT or a sign saying Pedro de la Rosa was here. That's pretty bad. Okay, two of the top contenders for the championship are Kevin Magnussen, who is in the McLaren driver development program, and he will race for Dam's team, another French team, and Dr. Marco's flavor of the week, Antonio Felix da Costa, who will race with Christian Horner's own Arden Caterham team. So we'll see how that goes.
And these are both very quick drivers.
These are very quick drivers. There are quite a few other drivers who are very quick. But I think the focus will be on these two youths. And Kevin Magnussen, he will be in his second year. And it's one of those things. He has to win 4 or 5 races if he does not win the championship. Otherwise, Martin will say, oh dear, did we make a mistake? But I think Kevin will come through. He's very quick. Okay, last year the championship was won by rookie Robin Friends, who is now a third driver for Sauber F1 team, and we shall keep you posted as the season progresses. I would like to. I've never been to a World Series by Renault event. I was going to go there, but I screwed up at the airport, and access was denied to the Ryanair.
Yeah, so we had access accepted for the race, but access denied at the airport.
I mean,
they get us either there or there.
Yeah.
It's brutal being F1 Weekly. Yes. They're always looking at you.
I know.
But no, the World Series by Renault is a great series. Trust me.
Really?
Yeah. There is no entrance fee. It's free to the people.
Yeah, all you have to do is go on their website and download a ticket.
Exactly.
Very clever and smart marketing idea. And they have a lot of Renault show cars and historical cars. Jean yes. Reniotti is
the
there.
Vintages, the Caravelles yeah. show up, the Ari Gordinis, the Alpines.
Yeah, and sometime Alain Prost shows up.
Yeah, Alain always Nicolas shows Prost. Up.
Yeah. You know, Nicolas Prost is another guy who should race here in Indy cars. Because the sponsor will get a lot of coverage because of his Le Papa. Oh, yeah. Okay, Hapet Race, also known as GP3. Swiss team Jenser Racing have signed their homeboy Alex Fontana. They have also signed a chica from Venezuela by the name of Samin Gomez, which is interesting. She's a cute-looking lady like Milka and has done pretty well in the karting series. And also, this is not her first racing foray, single-seater, that is. So we wish muy bueno to
Ms. Gomez.
Ms. Gomez. Luis Sa Silva from Angola, and, you know, hence the mention of Angola at the top of the show. Luis Sa Silva from Angola is switching from F3 Euro Series to GP3 and will race with Carlin Motorsports. Finnish team Koiranen, which is actually Koiranen Brothers, will have a strong pairing with Kevin Korjus of Estonia and homeboy Aro Vainio. And Aro is no longer part of Nicola Tord's all-road management. You know, he did not very good in his first year of GP3. And frankly, I was surprised that, you know, Nicola Tord kept him on board. Second year, he did pretty good. But, you know, in second year, they want you to just blow away everybody. And now they have dropped him. But he will be in the series still. Top rookies and also favorite for the title are Jack Harvey of UK and Carlos Sainz Jr. Both raced last year in British F3 with Jack the Racer winning the championship. And Jack Harvey is kind of like Jenson Button, very articulate, very easy to deal with, smart young guy, and also a very good racer. So I see this kid. And he's sponsored by Racing Steps Foundation, which is a group of British rich people who want to see Britain at the top of motor racing.
Oh, I thought he was sponsored by Harvey's Bristol Cream.
Really? That's when he comes to Bristol, Tennessee. Keep up the good work, Mr. Host. The 2013 Hapetre season starts in Barcelona on May 11. You know, it's interesting. The very first GP3 race I was there was won by this kid from Norway, Paul Warhaug. He got 10 points, and at the end of the season, all he had was 10 points. Okay, so instead of repeating or doing something, you know, maybe F3, what does he do? He goes to Hapidos. And who was his teammate? Romain Grosjean.
Oh.
So it was slaughter on every street, not just 10th Street. So these things happen. Okay, now we go to Hapidos. Talking of Hapidos, GP2. The season for the F1 official feeder series starts in Malaysia next month. Let's take a look at some of the teams where the champion may come from. You know, the thing I don't like about this, I mean, nothing against these kids, but there are a lot of drivers who are like in their third and fourth year. And, I mean, haven't they learned from Giorgio Pantano what happens if you win the championship in the fourth year? Or even the guy who won last year, Davide Valsecchi, 4 years to win GP2. It's not going to...
It worked for Pastor Maldonado, though.
Yeah, courtesy of Pedrovesa. No Pedrovesa, back to Venezuela. It's simple. Okay, now let's take a look here. Spanish team Racing Engineering will feature Swiss driver Fabio Laimer. I think this is his fourth season in the series, but he is a quick driver. He's a Formula winner of the what used to be Formula Master Championship. but he has quite a few wins, and Fabio is focusing on winning the championship in 2013. My take is, you know, if you have $3 million to go GP3 in your fourth year, IndyCar racing, but $3 million, it's not going to bring you a seat at Penske, but you can be smart and not do some, you know, Iowa Oval, Kansas Oval, and $3 million can go very far in IndyCar racing if you race with a Ray Hall Letterman or a Sam Schmidt Motorsport. And, you know, just be a little clever about not doing the whole season. But that's just my humble opinion. Raypak's team, they will feature another GP2 veteran, Stefano Coletti of Monaco. He can be very quick on his day, but not very consistent. And once upon a time, and I think it was an F3 series, him and Jules Bianchi had a situation, and Stefano punched him on the podium, which was like not very cool.
A Tagliani kind of punch?
Yeah. And then Paul Tracy went all over him, ballistic on him. Okay, cousin Felipe Nasr has gone back to the team that took him to British F3 Championship, Carlin Motorsports. This will be his second season, and championship success is the only goal. The strongest driver pairing, again, just my humble opinion, could be at ART Grand Prix team, which is owned by Nicola Todd. James Calado will be in his second year with the team. Last year, he was teammate to Esteban Gutierrez and did very well, winning races in his rookie season. And it can be fairly said he kind of rattled Esteban's cage. And if you can win races against, just like Button versus Hamilton, you are good. So I think this kid will do very good. I will not be surprised that the championships come between Limer, Nasr, and this kid. His teammate will be young German Daniel Abt. Last year, Daniel did the business in GP3, and only a late race pass by Theo Alinas deprived Daniel of a title in his rookie season. It will be very, very hard for a rookie to win the championship, but stranger things have happened. And talking of rookies, Alexander Rossi, who is from Northern California, is expected to be with Caterham team, but GP2 series does not list any drivers for the season as of Saturday evening for this team. And quite a few teams are missing. They just have a figurine, you know, no names. And Alexander Rossi has done some GP2 races in Asia GP2 series, but in the main series, he will be a rookie, and it'll be great if he can pull it off. But it's going to be very tough for any rookie to win the championship. But it's one of those things, if you win in your rookie season these days, you should at least get a decent testing contract with the team.
Yeah, it goes far.
Yeah, exactly. Some bad news for you, sir. World Rally Championship Sweden. Your words are coming back to you. Loeb finally lobed.
Bummer,
exactly.
So that's, you know, he's got so many wins. And this is great for Volkswagen.
And beaten by another Sébastien, another Français.
Exactly.
So it doesn't hurt too much. Sébastien Ogier gave the WeDub their first WRC win since the 1987 Ivory Coast Rally, which I used to follow with a lot of interest back home because it was one of the major events then, which in days gone by was also known as the Bandama Rally. Bandama, I believe, is a river there or something like that. And, of course, driving for Volkswagen. Namesake Loeb was second in his Citroën. Third was Mads Osberg in a Ford Fiesta. Ogier now leads the championship by 3 points over Loeb. And Loeb is not doing a full season, so finally we will see somebody other than Sebastian Loeb win a World Rally Championship.
Yeah, no, he's not doing a full season, so I think he won't be at the next rally.
So somebody else gets a chance, which will be good.
I know, I agree.
Yeah.
But he'll probably come back in 3 years, a la Schumacher, and be old, and we'll see what happens. But I believe he'll be at Le Mans.
That'll be good. And then after 8 years, he can come and make his NASCAR debut.
That would be exciting. You know, I bet you Sebastian Loeb would love NASCAR.
Ricky Loeb. That could be a good name.
Yeah. Keep up the good work, and maybe we can get Perrier involved.
Oh, there you go. Thank you, sir. Bathurst 12 Hours at the Mount Panorama Circuit was won by Mercedes SLS AMG GT3 car, driven by Bernd Schneider, Thomas Jaeger, and Alexander Roloff. I say, jawohl. Second was the Ferrari 458 Italia, driven by Craig Beard, Matt Griffin, and Mok Wen Soon. Conor Daly wins the MRF Challenge in India. The final round featuring four races took place in Chennai. the World Center of Outsourcing. Josh Hill, wearing the colors of London Rowing Club on his helmet, and we know how far that goes, was the winner of the first race. Connor Daly from Indiana with Shamrock Spirit won the second and final race, and with that the championship glory. So our congratulations to Connor Daly. English chap Jordan King was the winner of race 3. He was leading the final race when he made a mistake which cost him the crown. Pretty sad. Are you ready for some IndyCar news?
I am pumped up. I know, you know, there's some hot chicks in here now.
Ooh. Catherine is slayed by the dragon. English lady Catherine Legg has been let go by Dragon Racing. The slayer is Jay Penske. And we know what happened last time Jay Penske was in the news. Thank you very much. Catherine is planning legal action as she had brought a 2-year sponsorship package from True Car, and now someone else will drive her the Lada. And that someone is Sebastian Saavedra of Colombia. His teammate will be another Sebastian Bourdais. And AJ Allmendinger should have I think he's already signed with Penske as the third car. And no surprise here with all the political turmoil at Indy, you know, the IndyCar series. The introduction of the new Indy Lights car, which is a pretty decent looking car, has been delayed. So who knows where this...
I'm happy for Bourdais.
I'm sure you are.
Well, he likes us on Facebook. He's an F1 Weekly guy.
Oh, he likes F1 Weekly?
Yeah.
That's very nice and kind of him. Well, merci beaucoup.
He probably remembers my charming face.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
So that's good.
It's something.
Good, good, good.
Well, thanks for another outstanding Motorsports Mondial. I guess you're packing the bags, getting ready for Sepang. What should you bring? I would suggest an umbrella.
Yeah, that will help. And you know what is happening here is, obviously I'm going to Karachi first.
Of course.
And then from there I will go to KL. So a lot of traveling, a lot of flying. Really looking forward to it. And my thanks again. You know what Peter Brazier and Mr. Philip Pegler did for me? Much appreciated, very thankful. They got together and they did a safety video, like an 8-minute safety video for Karting Association of Pakistan for all the new kids who will come, and we will show them this. And this is also available on YouTube. So my very deep thanks
to... And who stars in the video?
Philip Pegler. And it's done very nicely. And Mr. Brazier is the John Ford, you know, he's the man making behind the camera.
That's pretty exciting. Yeah, I'm gonna have to look at that.
Yeah, please do. And everything's basically arranged. The cart should arrive in the port of Karachi next week by the 24th, and then it takes about a week to get them out. So I have some local peeps there helping me, and everything is arranged at the Dream World Karting track. So I'll be there. A lot of work, and I hope it works out and see how it goes. And I'll send some pictures, and maybe we'll do a podcast from the karting track there in Karachi.
Is that what,
if that's okay with you?
Once the drones are grounded.
Once the drones are... Yeah, well, they are busy in Waziristan, in the Waziristan 500.
Oh!
That's a drag race between a drone and a Toyota Tundra.
That's so beautiful.
Yeah. And they always end up like Pastor Maldonado and Romain Grosjean crashing into each other.
Exciting, exciting, exciting. Thanks, Nas. I'm glad that's all working out. Let's go ahead and wrap it up by thanking everybody who listens to the program, and good night.
Thank you. Bye-bye.